Hey, 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 Kevin Guthrie here, talking all things mental health and well-being. Thank you so much again for listening to yet another one of our podcasts. We have a guest in the studio, as we always have. So today we have the lovely Shirley Novak. Shirley, welcome.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you so much for being here. Shirley.
Yes.
Tell me. Actually, I asked you into the studio today.
You did.
I asked you into the studio because you have connections with the Shore Mind Foundation and music, two really, really interesting subjects. Tell me why you accepted my invitation into the studio.
Well, I think it's a good time for you to ask me because there's lots of things going on for me with both. So I'm the Community Development Manager at the Shore Mind Foundation, and Shore Mind Foundation is a relatively new charity. It's been around 3 years. I think it's been around now. And what we do is we seek ways to support people with their mental health, but maybe in a bit of a different way, as we're trying to fill that gap between people actually, I suppose, feeling like they need help but are not going to their GP. So we don't have a referral service. We don't charge anything. It's about trying to fill that gap, stopping people needing to go to their GP. Often when they go to the GP, it's, you know, ending up and going on a huge waiting list or needing to go on medication or whatever. So, and we're doing that simply by providing spaces. I came up with the term breathe. We all need a time when we can just breathe.
Yep.
And do you remember that great radio station, Chill?
Yeah.
Just breathe. It's a bit like that. Just take a bit of time out of your very busy or troubled day and come and have a cup of tea and maybe share your experiences or what you're going through with somebody who might be able to help. And if they can't, yeah, then we'll signpost them on. And it's a very simple concept. And to be honest, it's just gone boom. So we're
working. Where is Breathe?
Well, Breathe at the moment is in the Butter Market. Yep. So we've just moved, actually, because obviously with the closure of part of the Butter Market. So we're sharing space with L'Escape. So we're right on the market square there at the front of the town hall, and we're sharing a space, I think, well, for a few months anyway, yeah. Until we can get some funding to actually have our own gaff, as they say. But we're also working with the local schools, doing pop-up breathes, working with the peer mentors in the schools, because young people, if you want to know anything, ask a young person, and they'll tell you exactly what they need, and that's what's happening. So yeah, we're doing a lot of consultation at the moment, as well as the community single that we're working on called Just Be You. But I guess we'll talk about that in a bit.
Absolutely. What's really interesting there was, and it's really interesting for me because it was a thought process I was having earlier about, you mentioned there Let's Escape. And I was thinking about community, and I was thinking about community connection, and I was thinking about how we are biologically wired to connect people, and how if that doesn't happen, we start to decline a little bit in terms of our mental health. Really interesting story. And I cannot remember where I saw this. I think I saw it on LinkedIn. It was a story about a community in Africa somewhere that were doing their washing in the river as they do. And then they were given washing machines. And because they were given washing machines, mental health or poor mental health was on the increase. Mm-hmm. And people were really curious by this. And I was like, nothing curious about that. They had stopped, or they had no reason to connect in the river whilst doing their washing.
That's right. Yeah.
And again, it for me, it went to prove that we need that human connection.
Yes.
We need to be able to look at people. We need to be able to connect. And it was brilliant that they got washing machines, but then they needed another form of communication. So with Let's Escape, I was thinking, what a perfect environment to do board games and interact with people. So actually, Breathe in Let's Escape. I know it's not perfect for you in terms of having that very dedicated space, but great space to use.
Well, and I'm embracing it for all those reasons you've just mentioned, you know, particularly for young people. So, you know, the best thing to do is to, like you say, get with your peers, get with your mates and play a board game. So so certainly with the young people, but I absolutely agree. What's been such a pleasure for me is being at Breathe every single day and having people come up, sometimes just once to get what they need and then go away again. But people continuing to come up and sit with other people and chatting. And I'll look out the little window there and, you know, people that were afraid to even come up the stairs have made it up those stairs and are now actually interacting with other people, you know, getting each other drinks and everything and having a social life that they never had before. I mean, I know of at least three people that have come up to Breathe who said, if it wasn't you for you being here, we would have taken our own lives.
Yeah.
And one particular person said to me, she came up before we'd even opened, she was that desperate. She said, I was about to take my own life last night, and I thought, no, I've been told about Breathe, I'll go tomorrow, then I'll do it. And that person ended up taking art group for us on a Tuesday.
That's brilliant.
Job done. Yeah. You know, and again, if we hadn't been there, if that space hadn't been there, Simple Space, who knows what would have happened. And they're just the ones that we know about. So.
Simple but really powerful space.
We've got to do it. We have to do it.
Where people can connect just over a cup of tea.
Exactly. That's often all it takes. And that may stop that person getting up in the morning. I need to go and see my GP. And, you know, and then get on a waiting list. And it's, you know, and that's not to say that's not valid, because it is. And some people do still need to go and do that.
Yeah.
But it's an attempt to kind of just be that stopgap and be free as well.
Absolutely. I wanted to pick you up on something you said earlier about the GP. And I think I know where you're going with that. And I really do agree. When we begin to experience poor mental health, one of the first places that we go to is GP. And I, sadly, really sadly, and I say this with such a heavy heart, that medication gets thrown out from a GP far, far too easily for my liking. Far too easily.
Well, me too. And I think in a previous life, when I was the CEO of Newark Mind, I remember sitting with a 17-year-old young man that came to us because he said he'd just literally come from the GP and they'd given him a prescription for some antidepressants, and he'd come with his social worker, and he said, I don't want to take them.
No.
What else can I do? Thank goodness he came, but that broke my heart, and that's you know, all sorts of different reasons. I understand that, but some of it is being lazy because we think that's the only thing we can offer people who might be struggling, and it isn't. And I wanted to introduce a system where, next to the you know, the prescription pads that the doctors have, they have a prescription pad for us at Newark Mind, where they can write a person's name down, you know, what they might need, or a contact detail, and they bring it to us.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So they're still being given something, just not a prescription for antidepressants. But it happens too much. It happens too much.
I mean, what would be helpful there is even a series of different interactions that might help that person, in terms of, there's a lot of app-based chat services now that can help with mental health. There's loads and loads of resources online now about mental health. Therapists, of course, places like Sure Mind. There's loads of areas. So maybe a list of, just to give people an option, because some people might want to. There's a really good app called, oh, it's completely escaped my mind. It'll come back to me later.
Diddly-doo-dah. But it's
I know that app. Pardon?
Diddly-doo-dah. When you can't remember something.
Youpa. It's called Youpa.
That's right, Youpa.
And it's really nice. It's doesn't suit everybody, but for some people, it gives them the chance to express how they're feeling, to talk about their feelings. The app, it's a really, obviously, it's a pre-programmed app. There's nobody at the end of it, but it's like a text message service where you go back and forwards with this program.
Yeah.
But it can just, for some people, offer that ability to download and check stuff out a little bit. How am I feeling? Yeah. Why am I feeling like this?
Yeah.
And go into a little bit more detail. Or with Youpa, you can just log it.
Yeah.
And then you get a report back. So just little things like that. So maybe, I completely agree with doctors. Stop throwing medication out. In some cases, absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree that medication is really important, but talk about it more.
I think that is the key, talking about it. And I think, again, that's what Breathe offers, because, you know, if you're talking about it, you're understanding it more. I actually, strangely, even though it's my work, I don't like the word mental.
No, I
don't. It's used as a derogatory
I don't like
name.
It.
It's just horrible. But if you start to talk about it, you know, I'm having a bad day today because I've had a bereavement, or my relationship has broken down, or I'm actually not very well, so I'm struggling today.
Yeah.
Then that actually means every single person in this world.
Yeah.
And it opens up a whole new load of doors. And if we could just understand that, and obviously for young people as well, if we could just understand that, that's a bit of a game changer, actually.
Yeah.
Because then if we can address that, I'm having a bad day, can you help me with that? Well, actually, I think we can.
Yeah.
Even if it's just, you know, sitting and chatting for a bit, that will change things. But the whole stigma around the world, mental health, it's awful, isn't it? I know it's out there and we all use it, but I'd rather we didn't.
I think for you and I, no, I'm going to remove that statement and I'm going to own it completely. For me, when I hear the word mental, excuse me, it comes from a time when the word mental was so derogatory and it would be thrown around in school.
That's right.
Oh, it was a terrible word. So I do agree with you. Whenever I say the word mental health, there's this little feeling that runs through my body and I'm kind of uncomfortable with it. But I think
the more we talk about it, that will change. I think, you know, and it's just a historic thing. And I think, you know, when people ask you how you're doing and you go, fine, thanks. Well, why are you sat in the doctor's with your leg in plaster? You're not. You know, I think it's just if we start to talk more about it, then that will break down. So.
And that's what we're doing here.
And that's what we're doing here, which is brilliant. I love what you're doing. This is special. This is and much needed. So yes, great. Well done for this.
Not at all. It's all with the support of New York Radio. They made it happen. I wanted to talk about another project that you have going at the moment. Tell us about the other project, because this is really exciting.
Well, it's down to me, really, as in...
Go on, take the credit.
No, not in that way, although, yes, I will. I always like a bit of credit.
Good, good.
But it's because it's a way of combining my two loves in life, really. And that is... I'm going to use the word enabling here, and it will make sense a bit, really. And music. So I my own mental health, I understand that I struggled with my mental health as a young girl.
Yep.
And I think part of that was because I never felt like I fitted in. There was always something a bit different. So when all my mates were out, you know, falling in love with the Osmonds, you'll be too young to remember that.
I remember the Osmonds.
Oh, do you? Well, then you're younger than you look. No, that's not right, is it? Anyway, so there was all my mates getting involved with the Osmonds and Bay City Rollers and all of that. And all I wanted to do was listen to Patsy Cline.
Aww.
And that came from my dad. My dad was a huge muso. He loved music, traditional jazz, and he had all these amazing Patsy Cline records. And I think I warmed to her because actually a lot of her music, well, all of it actually, was quite melancholic.
Yeah.
So, but there was this amazing voice of the such that we have never heard since.
So
maybe
beautiful.
Katie Lang a little bit, but Patsy Cline, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what I used to do, and I'm probably aged 8 or 9 at this time, my dad used to have one of these things called a stereo. And I remember it coming out. And it was where the two speakers on the top used to lock onto the top of this little system. And I used to undo the speakers, put my forehead on the kitchen table, and put a speaker either side, right close to my ears.
You invented headphones.
That's exactly it. And I used to sit and listen for hours, and I mean hours, to Patsy Cline. And later, obviously realised I had, like you say, invented an iPod, actually. What I was doing was escaping through music.
Absolutely.
So I taught myself how to play the guitar, mainly listening to Patsy Cline, but... when my grandfather died at a young age, I realised actually I had no way of communicating to my grieving dad, because it was his dad, and my mum then, how I felt about it, that my granddad wasn't coming back. So I had no way of communicating, and I realised then how I used to do it, and have been doing it ever since, is using music to communicate an emotion. So I used to write silly little songs and copy the Patsy Cline stuff and that, and ended up being a singer-songwriter for 11 years, touring a lot of Europe, sharing a message that I truly did believe in at that time, which was my personal Christian faith. And then when my dad died in 93, it all just left me, just like that. He was my muse. It all just went. I didn't want to do it anymore. For a number of reasons, one being that he was my muse and I was grieving.
Mm-hmm.
I now know that I became depressed at the loss of my dad. But also coming to terms with my own sexuality at that time, which didn't fit into my Christianity or my faith at that time. It's very different now. So I didn't only feel that I'd lost him, I lost everything. And I didn't touch music for another 12 years. I didn't even listen to it.
Wow.
When I look back now... this was in 93, I find incredible. But I literally didn't have anything to do with music for 12 years. I moved to Newark, got a job working with people with learning disabilities, caring for them in their own home, which I loved. But I found that music started to creep back into what I was doing. And yeah. I knew that if I sang Please Release Me, Let Me Go to one particular person in one of the homes, that they would, in fact, cook their own tea. So I quickly learnt and began to learn again about the power of music within yeah. my own life. And I'm going to quickly fast forward here because I was many years. But basically, to cut a very long story short, I ended up becoming self-employed and using music to communicate with children on the autistic spectrum, people with learning disabilities, people with mental health, using digital equipment as well. So, but not just focusing on music, it was around sound. So yeah. if somebody's screaming because they couldn't communicate what they were feeling was a sound, I would record that sound, we'd play it back, and then maybe learn how not to make that sound,
yeah.
If that makes. Or we'd make a sound by, you know, hitting a desk or something, making that into a beat, and then putting yeah. lyrics around that beat using a very simple software that comes with Max GarageBand. That's where I got stuck. Then I started to write some music. I wrote a song about my dad. It's the last song that I ever wrote, called Need You Back, for obvious reasons. And so it began, and I still do spend many years using music to enable, and I love that word, enable people to communicate in an amazing way. So my journey took me to being the secretary of Newark Mind on London Road there, which had been there for many years. And when the managers that were then there left, because I was freelance and available, the rest of the board said, could I come in and really look at the way forward for it, which was probably to close it down over the next 6 months. So I got in there, not really knowing much about mental health. And I thought, hang on a minute, Newark needs this place.
Yeah.
Started to apply for a few pots of money, stopped it being just people that had been diagnosed with a mental health problem. As going back to what we were saying earlier, I said, if you're struggling, come and see us. Again, that blew the doors off, as Michael Caine said. and it grew and it grew. And we were there for another 6.5 years with an amazing team that I worked with. Then Notts County Council and CCG pulled their funding, and National Minds said, well, actually, we're going to make Regional Minds. And so it became part of that. And so it ended. And my heart was broken, really,
yeah.
because there were at least 400 odd people that I knew weren't going
to
get the help. So
yeah.
I really struggled with my own mental health around that. But a year before that happened, I managed to get some money from the lottery, bless their hearts, to make an album. And the idea was that we basically talked to people through writing workshops and one-to-ones, put it out there on Facebook. What's it like in words for you living with your mental health problem?
Yeah.
Can you articulate that in any way? And it was amazing. We had everything from people's positivity about, you know, well, when spring comes, things change, yeah. I change. And a gentleman submitted what we now know to be his suicide note. And you think, oh, how can you make a song out of that? That's nice and
yeah.
cheery. But actually, the story is he's still here.
Powerful.
So he had his suicide note and he wrote it down. But the end of the story and the conclusion is that man is still here. So it turns something really
yeah.
negative into something positive, and it's a very, very powerful track on the album.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we made the album, still on letsummercome.com. Have a look at it. And it was amazing. It was done by all professional musicians in a studio in Alderton. I produced it and arranged some of it along with somebody called Caroline Bonnet. We did it together. And the service users all came to the studio, had a great day, a couple of days. But this album was made and is still out there. It's fantastic. So one of the songs on the album never really got the recognition it should have. And when I became a community development manager with the Shaw Mind Foundation, I thought, what a great way to consult with all the schools in Newark through music,
yep.
which again is my background. So I'm gabbling on a bit here, Kevin.
Do it. I'm fascinated.
So what I did was I got the song back out again, and I thought, we'll send it to the schools or see who would be up for doing this. will record each school doing their own version, obviously to the same backing track.
Yep.
And then all of those schools will go on one community single along with a choir to just kind of go down the middle there.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't anticipate it being quite as popular as it's been. But what's even more exciting is about the process. So the song talks about things like if you're grieving, when grief breaks your heart, keep healing. When friends, and this was my bit, when friends can't be found, stay open. And that, we were talking about this earlier, that took me back to sitting with my head between my two speakers.
Yeah.
Because I had no mates.
Yeah.
I had no friends. People thought I was a bit odd because all I wanted to do was listen to Patsy Cline. So when friends can't be found, stay open, and things change. So the process of this in the schools, they've been going through the lyrics and has opened up all sorts of emotions with these young people that the school then are able to deal with. We were in a school, I won't say which one, recently, where in the last year they've had three bereavements, parents.
Yeah.
So these children are so vulnerable. But by being part of this process, the school have been able to swoop in and really talk to them about what it means to grieve and grieve well, and it's okay to feel like you're feeling. Yeah. So anyway, this is being recorded. We've nearly finished it. Seven schools involved, and it's going to come. It's going to be played on Newark Radio, actually, for the first time on the 20th of November in the morning. So that's been an absolute joy to work on, because, again, it brings both my loves personally together. That's enabling through music, and for this particular one, through mental well-being, and also through communicating through that massive, powerful medium of music.
So powerful that is. So it's going to be played for the first time, 20th of November, Radio Newark, Vicky and Matt show?
It is indeed, yes. I've got to get up really early for that. Set an alarm for that.
You must be really excited about playing it for the first time out to the public.
I mean, I've had the privilege, obviously, of being at each of the recordings with the school, and every single one has made me cry.
Yeah.
And I think there's two reasons. Partly because when we did the album, we did a launch, a fantastic launch of the album in Newark at the Civil War Centre. The day before the launch, I got told I was being made redundant. But I still had to stand up and go, isn't this amazing? Isn't this amazing? And, you know, and then again inside, I knew what the repercussions were about Newark Mine going. And I'm not talking personally as in a job. I'm talking about those 400 odd people that would have nowhere to go.
Vulnerable people.
I felt very responsible for that. So the album had picked up so much momentum. I was being interviewed here, left, right and centre, because I think it was a relatively new idea about it, and then nothing. So to be able to pick one of those tracks back up again and it be having the impact on people's lives that it is now is an absolute privilege. And I am so excited. So we've also secured some funding to have a professional video made with a storyboard to it that I think is going to be ready for next March. And the chap who's going to be making that has been working with Ronan Keating, of all people. So we're very excited about that, as are the children in the schools.
Yeah.
And the choir, all ladies. Well, they would be, wouldn't they, Ronan Keating? So that they're all really excited. But this is going to be... So it means that the longevity of it just goes on.
Yeah.
It's not a Christmas song. We are singing it at the Christmas light switch on, but it's not a Christmas song. It's a song about being yourselves. And actually, it's okay to be yourself. If you're feeling sad, that's all right.
Yeah.
Actually, but keep going. I am really excited.
Because
I think it's the start of a lot of things to come, actually.
Absolutely. It feels like what you've done is you have created a, you know, we always talk about language and we always talk about communication. It feels like you have created a medium there where people can communicate that. They can communicate their feelings, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Music is powerful for all of us, even though we don't realise it sometimes. If I need to cheer myself up, I know exactly where to go. I'm ashamed to say, but it's ABBA's Dancing Queen. If I put that on, I know I'm going to get the housework done. Or it's, you can play it at a wedding reception, boom, everybody's up. Sorry, we'll just move away from ABBA. Another love of mine. But then, on the other hand, if I need to give myself permission to be sad, then I'll put Puccini's O Mio Bambino on, which never fails to make me cry. Or Crazy, actually, by Patsy Cline. That's another one. absolutely, which is ironic being the title, but just incredible. Music moves us, every single one of us.
It really does.
Supermarkets to make us buy particular products or move around quickly.
Clever.
You know, Christmas. Yeah, it is. It is, and it's and it works.
Interesting fact on music. I think I read this years ago, but actually I have experienced it myself many, many times. When you're choosing something to listen to, always try and listen to something that is within your mood. And by that I mean, if I'm slightly low, then I can't listen to Bouncy House because it would grate across my vibrations at that point. So they say what you should do is always, if I'm feeling low, always pick a piece of music that slightly lifts you but doesn't grate across where you are.
Yeah.
Because it would just help lift you a little bit.
Yeah.
Whereas if we choose something that is way out of our mood circle, then it's just going to grate across us and make us feel worse.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which, when I read that, I was like, that's so powerful.
Yeah,
that
it is. And you wouldn't turn it off. You would turn it off and not listen to it.
Yeah, or... You know, for some people, when we talk about awareness, they wouldn't even understand what was happening. So it would just make them feel worse, but they would continue in the process and then afterwards go, why do I feel worse? I mean, we're talking about emotional intelligence there, but always pick something that is within your arena or just slightly above, and then you can start to shift your mood just a little bit.
Yeah.
But music is massively, massively powerful. I just recorded another podcast with a lady called Kari, and Kari develops workplace choirs. And we had a conversation around music and theories. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about the evidence-based, or is there any evidence, I'm sure there is, as to why music moves us. Do you have any insight into that? I have theories, but they're only theories. Do you have any insight?
Well, only... Somebody told me once that our heartbeat is should average, and when we're born, beats at 120 beats per minute.
Wow.
I know, that's incredible, isn't it? So that's why most dance music is based around about 120 beats per minute.
Right, okay.
Because we instantly relate to it, and it makes us want to move.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so you try it. So anything slower than that or in a minor key, I'm getting technical now. So anything that's in a minor key is more sad than something in a major key.
Yeah.
So that can change different things. But I think what music does is it gives us permission. So it gives us permission to feel a certain way. It certainly did for me as a child growing up. Because, yes, I did like the Osmonds and all everybody else that was around that. And, again, ABBA. But I knew that the melancholic tone of Patsy Cline and anybody else, similar sort of singers of those times, kind of gave me permission to feel sad and what I was doing. But that was completely misunderstood by my parents, and that's no, you know, I'm not having a go at that. That's just the way it was.
Yeah.
Nobody could really understand that. So I think whether it's listening to it, performing it, or whatever, music gives us a kind of permission.
Yeah.
And I spent possibly two of the most incredible years of my working career working in a school for children on the autistic spectrum. I loved it as the music specialist there. There were only 13 children in the school, but I was there doing some group work, but also one-to-one.
Yeah.
So, you know, where these children were struggling to access any other part of education, as soon as it was my turn to come into the room, and sometimes in the room all I would have was a guitar.
Yeah.
Everything changed.
Yeah.
So if they were particularly distressed, then I wouldn't make them do anything or whatever. I'd just sit and strum my guitar very softly. And then what I'd do is offer the child my guitar.
Yeah.
And look, if you hit that in a certain way, it's going to make a noise. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
Or whatever. So using the instrument as a bit of a tool as well. And then they became to like that instrument, would see it, and then I would sit and strum it. But equally, if they were having a good day and jumping up and down, then what I would do was play my guitar in time for them jumping up and down. And all of a sudden, I could control them jumping up and down and being really...
Connection. You
know, yeah. So, and then I would slow it down and they'd slow down.
Yeah.
And then for some of those children, I would play softly and they would rock. So I would play my guitar in time with them rocking. When they stopped rocking, I would stop playing.
Yeah.
Start rocking again, I'd start playing. And then when they'd stop rocking, I would stop playing. And for that child, sometimes that was the first time they may have ever felt in control in
yeah.
their lives.
Yeah.
So they were controlling me. It wasn't about me.
Yeah.
And I learned so much in those 2 years. And the other teachers that were there, I hope they're listening to this, because I learned so much from being there for those 2 years. It was incredible. And I think that, again, has formed the basis yeah. of a lot of how I am now, and not just with music, but certainly in dealing with people that might be coming to me for support.
Yeah.
It's not saying, oh, you really shouldn't do that, or don't do that, or right, do this, that will make you feel better. It's
yeah.
like, I absolutely get this. I
yeah.
am standing right next to you here, feeling all that you're feeling, and let's just breathe.
Yeah.
Let's just breathe yeah. a minute. So let's just take that. And using the same principles that I learned at the school in what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
So
again, it's that human connection, isn't it?
Yeah, it's permission. It's
yeah.
it's giving people permission to say, I'm having a real bleep, bleep, bleep day, and I don't know why even.
Yeah.
And it's you know.
And sometimes that's okay.
And it is perfectly okay.
It's okay not to understand why, just be aware of it.
Yeah.
And then do stuff accordingly. So we talked earlier about the young guy that came that had been given medication. Mm. And then what I wanted to say at that point was, if I'd have been his doctor, the one thing that I'd have been saying to him was, I want you outside for 30 minutes every day and walking.
Yeah.
Something so simple.
Yeah.
So simple.
Yeah.
Just get outside and walk for 30 minutes. A lot of people hear that and go, what difference do you think that's going to make? And I would say it's going to make a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. And it's just the beginning yeah. of a new journey. But get outside.
Yeah.
We are, I've said this often, we are animals living in a very, very sophisticated world that we have developed, but we do belong outside. We've
yeah.
gotten used to being inside, but we truly belong outside. So just by being outside for 30 minutes,
yeah.
we'll feed that in some way and allow us to settle yeah. down and feel less caged
yeah.
from the amazing, beautiful boxes that we have developed
yeah.
that we live in.
And we think are our safe place,
yeah.
actually.
They're really not.
Yeah, they're really not.
Right. So something as simple as that can,
yeah.
can really make a difference. Why aren't GPs saying that?
Mm.
Let's not answer that. Shirley, we have come to the end of our recording.
Wow, that was quick.
Sadly. I would love to have you back at some point so we can talk further. Have you any lasting, profound, remove the word profound, you don't need to be profound, any lasting messages that you want to give to the listener?
I think because we've been talking about music and how music affects your mental health, what I'm going to challenge people that might be listening to this to do is to think back and then go and look for a piece of music or a song that they can say, I remember that, and I remember
yeah.
how I felt when I heard that. And even if it's in a negative way,
yeah,
go back there, listen to it, and feel those feelings, and then deal with it.
Yeah.
And then put on ABBA, Dancing Queen, that would all completely change it. But yeah, I think that, you know, there's always pieces of music coming up that I hear wherever. I thought, oh, wow, that takes me back. Don't be afraid to go there. So think about a track, think
yeah.
about a song, and go and find it and listen to it, and listen to every single second of it.
What a fantastic challenge. I told you about mine earlier.
You did.
I'm not going to say anymore. Apart from it came from Yazoo, and it was the album Upstairs at Eric's. I can't remember the name of the track that really got me. Thank you so much for being
thank
here.
You, it's been lovely.
You have been absolutely brilliant. Remember, the connection with music is amazing. Don't ever underestimate how powerful music is. I always find with music there's two things. People listen to lyrics.
Mm.
Or they don't listen to lyrics.
Yeah.
I don't listen to lyrics. I feel music. I feel a beat.
Yeah.
I feel a... It's just, I don't know what it is. It's a feeling. But, you know, I don't listen to lyrics.
Mm.
And for me in the world, there are two types of people. You either listen to lyrics or you don't.
Yeah.
And actually, it doesn't matter. Both of them are absolutely okay.
Absolutely, they are.
I feel music. Last time, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Remember that these podcasts are for you. We record them because we want to bridge the gap between how mental health used to be viewed and how we would like it to be viewed. And we would like it to be viewed more openly, more accessibly. We want people to talk more. We want people to understand it more. And we want it to be less scary, because you know what? It's really not that scary. I always think with mental health, the basics of it are really pretty simple, but we have been cultured into this place where it becomes frightening. And like me and Shirley have both said during this podcast, the word mental kind of frightens us a little bit, but that comes from some historical stuff. So please talk about it. If we're not talking about stuff that you want to hear about, then please write in. Please let us know what you want to hear, and we will record it for you, because they are yours. I'm going to finish how I always finish. Please take care of yourself. Please look after yourself, and please love those around you. Take care and goodbye.